Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Tuesdays at this time, we visit with Dr. Jeffrey Copen. This conversation is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Dr. Copen is the chief medical officer over at the Lake Forest Hospital for the folks at Northwestern. Dr. Copen, good to hear you. How are you?
I'm great, John. How are you today?
Did you get the cold yet?
No, I'm good. So far, so good.
No flu, no RSV.
When it gets cold out, I don't do great with the dry air.
Yeah.
But so far, so good.
Doctors aren't supposed to get sick. Or I wonder what the incidence of doctors getting sick is relative to the general public, because you guys are at a place where sick people go more often. Do you guys get sick more than we do?
We get exposed to a lot of bugs. The data's not great on this, but I think we're exposed to so much stuff. I don't want to say we're immune, but it's amazing how rarely we get sick compared to the general public. And that's probably part of it. I also think we're much better about washing our hands all the time.
That's what I was going to say. You guys probably get your vaccines. You take all of your medicine. You're probably, just by discipline, a healthier lot, a smarter lot about all of that. Hey, what's the latest on this non-opioid pain drug? I'm reading a quote here from Dr. Stephen Cohen, who is a professor of anesthesiology and pain medicine at Northwestern's Feinberg School at Northwestern. And I don't know if everybody's using the name Game Changer, but it sounds like this different way to control pain is a big deal. What do you know about it?
So there is a lot of searching going on right now in laboratories all over the world, pharmaceutical companies, trying to come up with an effective pain medication that's non-addictive, right? Because we all know that the opioid pain medicines that we all know, codeine and, remember, oxycodone and oxycontin, all of those things, they're very effective pain medications, Jen, but they're addicting. So this is what Dr. Cohen is referring to. There's a new class of pain medications that blocks something called the sodium channel. The sodium channel is used to transmit to the brain pain impulses. So if you can block those pain impulses before it gets to the brain, you can effectively deal with the acute pain, and it doesn't seem to be addicting. So there's a lot of excitement about this, and FDA just approved the first medication in this class.
Do you know, is it as effective as the opioid pain treatments?
Yeah, that was the comparator that they used in the stage 3 trial that they need to get the FDA approval, and it seems to be highly effective. Now, always with new drugs, we can't say a lot until it gets out into more general use. Physicians have to become comfortable prescribing it. And then we need to have a lot more experience with medication once it's out in general use. We call that post-marketing data. And that's how we can always tell if something is really safe and effective, because the phase three trials have a limited number of patients involved. But based on what Dr. Cohen is saying, he knows a lot about this medication. He's very enthusiastic, so we'll see. So, Jen, let's remember to revisit this in like 6 months or so, because I think we're going to know a lot more then.
The brand name will be Journavax. It sounds like, I wonder if the patients will want it. It's like, no, I know the opioids work, and I know I got to be careful with them, but I want the good stuff. Don't be giving me that other stuff off the shelf. I want opioids. I wonder if the patients will say that, or do the opioids scare them? They're afraid to take those.
Yes, some patients are scared of opioids. You know, we're much better now at prescribing opioid pain medication, John, than we were even a couple of years ago. And that's a very good thing. It's very rare that a physician will prescribe opioid medication in an acute setting when someone has acute pain for more than just a couple, 3 days. We used to give it for 30 days reflexively.
Wow.
And that was wrong. But we did that for a very long time. So now we limit it. But, you know, John, think about this. Let's say you have a friend who had the need for pain medication in the acute setting and was prescribed this new medication. And it really worked for that friend. And your friend told you about the medicine. And then one day you needed it. You would probably be amenable to give it a shot based on the recommendation of your friend.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. Well, my parents every now and then are in a hospital, and they'll be hooked up to a button, and you push it, and then it makes the pain go away, or it reduces the pain. What is that, and is that an opioid?
It could be. We have other types of medication, but the most common one that we use is some form of opioid. For patients who are in the hospital who really do need pain relief, we know how to skillfully use low doses of various kinds of opioid pain medication where we can get control of the pain. And we're not using it long enough and in high enough doses to cause this addiction problem, which can occur when a medication like that is used over a longer period of time.
Well, when people are addicted to opioids, the problem isn't that they want to take it over and over again, but it's the mental and physical state that they're in as a result, right? I'm wondering if this non-opioid painkiller makes you loopy or disoriented, those sorts of things.
Yeah, apparently it does not. That's what the phase 3 trial has shown. But, you know, I'll say it again. Until we have more experience and more people, it's very difficult to make a definitive statement about that. So, I mean, we'll know. It's just going to take some time.
What do you know about the bird flu? We got these birds in Lake Michigan washing ashore or floating up injured because of the bird flu. And I think Steve Alexander said 150 million hens had to be destroyed because of bird flu. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, so this avian flu, the bird flu, is really coming across the country in a very serious way. You know, we know that the farmers who raise these hens, these birds, have had to destroy so many. I saw that number too, Jen, 150 million birds. I mean, we're seeing our egg prices actually go up in the store because of this. And now with these birds that were found on the beaches of Lake Michigan, it appears, I haven't seen the confirmation for sure yet that they have avian flu, but that's the suspicion based on the reports. And that would make sense because wild birds can pick this up. And that's one of the ways that the avian flu is able to spread to other birds, including birds on farms. So this is a big issue right now. I know the United States Department of Agriculture is all over this. The state ag departments are, the Department of Natural Resources. The concern for humans, and this is important, is it possible for this thing to jump to human beings? There have been reports, very thankfully, only a handful of people who have contracted avian flu. Right now, that doesn't seem to be a problem, but it's something we're monitoring very closely.
Real quick, if a human does get it, is it like the flu or is it something different then?
Yeah, the symptoms are very similar to flu, but people can get pretty sick from it because, like our old friend COVID, right? If we've never seen this before in humans. So if a human gets it, we don't have immunity to it. So that's the issue with the avian flu. And let's hope it stays among birds and doesn't make that jump.
Pete, mark the tape. That's the first time anyone has ever said, our old friend COVID. That's that's an expression that we get to throw out there in 2025. By the way, you probably heard Tulsi Gabbard has been passed by committee. She goes on to the full Senate. And so, too, RFK Jr. has been passed by committee, and his nomination for Health and Human Service Secretary will go to the full Senate. They'll vote on that. The one interesting vote in that for RFK Jr. was Bill Cassidy, the Republican from Louisiana, who for 30 years was a gastroenterologist. 30 years he was a practicing physician. Now he's a politician, and he was the tougher vote But he said that Kennedy assured him that the administration would protect the health benefits of vaccinations. And, Doctor, I would say to you, we've talked about this process before. It looks like it's going to happen. But perhaps more important than what Kennedy has said or done in the past is, what is the messaging going to be from healthcare professionals, the CDC, you, the administration going forward? And that is that vaccinations are important and effective, right?
It's not going to change. That's the key thing. I'm still hopeful that the Senate, the full Senate, will use it, its advise and consent authority appropriately and make the right decision when the full Senate votes. I'm Mr. Kennedy. We'll see. But one thing that is not going to change is the full-throated support for vaccination from physicians, from our important organizations, our professional societies. That's not going to change, John.
I want to talk to you about flu in Illinois. The rates are going up. Are people getting hospitalized because of the flu?
Yeah, we have patients in every hospital in the area with influenza. It's mostly the type that's called influenza A. People who are getting it, many of whom, particularly older ones and older ones who have not been vaccinated, getting back to vaccinations, can get quite ill. So we do have patients in the hospital, including our intensive care units, with influenza.
Hmm. And the vaccine doesn't necessarily keep me from getting the flu. Does it minimize the effects of the flu if I do get it, though?
Yes, yes. Some years, the vaccine is perfectly directed to the virus that's circulating, and it can actually keep us from getting the flu. Most years, like this one, it might not keep us from getting the flu, but it actually will minimize the symptoms and the severity of the infection. One of my colleagues just had influenza A, and she was telling me yesterday how sick she felt, but she felt so fortunate that she had been vaccinated.
Dr. Jeffrey Kofen, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. We really enjoy your time with us on Tuesdays. Thank you, Doc.
All right. Thank you, John, and everybody take good care.